Welcome to Well-ish.
What does it mean to be well-ish?
Rejecting the illusion that you have to be perfect to be enough.
Embracing the messy, the real, and the in-between.
Growth without obsession.
Self-care without guilt.
Improvement without the pressure to be flawless.
Because wellness isn't about perfection. It's about showing up as you are and knowing that's already enough.
This is Well-ish.
Identified as a control freak, but then I learned that Control can wear several different pretty little outfits that make her hard to recognize. And when I started to heal my people pleasing, I didn't realize at the time that that was a form of control. I thought when I was cured from my feelings of caring what other people think, or at the very bare minimum, be able to have the strength to cut people off when I felt that they hurt me or did me wrong, and that I would just think, good riddance, see you later, that would mean that I was finally healed. But then I realized that she morphs, okay? Control morphs. She wasn't just in the people pleasing. Because I didn't heal the core wound that was causing me to people please, she transformed into other formats for me to gain control in whatever way that I could. And she got better and more clever at hiding the control because all of these forms wore the mask of healed empowerment. I stopped changing myself to be liked, sure, but then I started perfecting myself and blabbering about me perfecting myself to anybody that I felt was a high risk of hurting me. I wanted to ensure that I would be treated right. I wanted to be sure that I wouldn't get hurt. I wanted to be sure that I wouldn't be left in the dust. I wanted to be sure that I would be chosen. There's so many underlying things that were the hurt that caused me to get in front of it in this way, but I wanted to perfect myself and share that perfection with the people that I thought could hurt me in order to protect myself. And it's frustrating because I really genuinely thought that I was empowered. And I mean, I was, you know, like there's a lot of emotional intelligence and mental strength that correlates into the things that I thought. There is a lot of truth behind the things that I was doing or saying or thinking. But where was it coming from? And why was it being frantically exerted out into my life? Was it coming from a place of genuine empowerment, or was it coming from a place of control? And when I look back and I ask myself that question, I really, really see how a lot of the time it was coming from a place of control. I was doing everything I could to try to earn safety. Hello and welcome to Well-ish, the podcast for people who want to build their mental strength, the emotional intelligence, and become the best version of themselves without feeling like they have to be this perfect version in order to be her. Please make sure to rate and review the show. It really helps a lot. And for more content like this, make sure to go ahead and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts or on YouTube. So like I said, control isn't always loud. Sometimes it looks like trying to become the best version of yourself so you can't get hurt, which is confusing and aggravating because you think, God, I'm trying to be the best version of myself because I want to be the best version of myself. And it's very, very true. Two things can be true at the same time. You can want to become the best version of yourself because you want to be the best version of yourself, but you have to ask yourself if there are potentially underlying ways that you are becoming the best version of yourself for an ulterior motive, because you think that maybe you could gain something else out of becoming the best version of yourself instead of just being her. In the pursuit to become the best versions of ourselves, we think that we heal this need for control when it stops becoming so blatantly obvious the ways that we're trying to control. But the truth is, unless you dig in and find the core wound that's causing you to feel like you have to control things, it is just going to morph into a different form that is harder to recognize. There are endless amounts of ways that control can shift, but I want to share just a couple with you guys because I think these are the most common and the most easily hidden in empowered healing. People pleasing can turn into perfectionism. Instead of doing everything for everybody, you learn to do things for yourself. But when you do things for yourself, you have to make sure you're doing it the right way so that you can be good enough. You shift from shrinking for other people to overperforming your worthiness so that they can see it. You can shift from caretaking to emotional overresponsibility. So let's say that you gain control by making sure that somebody's bills are paid by paying it for them, or, you know, you're nagging them about what they need to get done or whatever, basically being somebody's mom, right? And like getting on top of all of this stuff because you're trying to control and protect yourself from somebody that seems financially unstable or whatever, unstable in any way. And it then shifts from, you know, actually doing things for them or getting in their face about what they should do to being emotionally over-responsible and taking on their feelings and trying to help them work through that and fix them. And you don't see it as that because you love them and you're just trying to be there for them. And so you want to be there for them emotionally, but you take on this heavier responsibility of carrying and fixing and helping with all of their emotions. And a lot of the time, you're not receiving that in return, at least not to the same capacity that you're giving it. And the other shift is from needing approval to needing to be understood. You go from wanting people to like you so bad, and you need to do everything you can in your power to make sure that people like you, to explaining yourself to everybody so that they understand you, so that they like you. And you don't realize the shift when that happens. You think, okay, I don't care what other people think. But then when people act weird or they're not acting in alignment with what fits into your boundaries or your standard, you explain yourself to them so much so that they understand you and will change their behavior to be more in alignment with what your standard is. In the next parts of this episode, I'm going to be breaking down the exact ways that control showed up for me, even when I thought I was past it, and how it hid behind this mask of empowered healing, this empowered mindset, this thinking that I was taking care of myself mentality, when really it was me protecting myself. It wasn't my mental strength. The first one that showed up for me was control as self-perfection. I used to think that if I did everything the right way, that I would reach whatever desired outcome I had in mind, that I would finally be treated the way I deserve, that the people I choose would choose me in return. Doing everything right gave me the illusion that I was in control of what was happening in my life. If I said the right things, if I showed up with the right energy, if I acted the right way, if I behaved in alignment with this ideal version of myself that I created in my head, that I would get everything out of life that I wanted. People's behaviors, actions out in life, you know, whatever. Whatever it is that I desire, I thought if I did the right thing, I would receive it. I was watching Sex and the City the other day, and the women were debating whether or not it was the right thing to do to sleep with a man on the first date or not. And while they're talking about it, it dawned on me that I know people that have slept with someone on the first date and got married, and I know people that have waited months and months and months, and they broke up anyways. Hi. I'll literally use me as an example. With my ex-fiance, we didn't sleep together for months until like we started dating. I think it was like 3 or 4 months. We had said, I love you to each other first before we had slept together. And I even got engaged to the man and he ended up leaving me anyways. So it doesn't matter what the right thing is. You know, it's, you can't control other people's behavior no matter how right you behave. Is there situationally gray area? Like, should you really suss that out? Have I slept with people on the first date and they weren't interested in me after? Absolutely. So like, maybe if I hadn't done that, they would have been. But also like saying that out loud, we can all hear how like, he just wasn't that into you. You know what I mean? Like, it wouldn't matter if you slept with him or you didn't, because at some point, it would have come to an end most likely, because if they wanted to be with you, they would be with you. So it doesn't matter if you do the right thing. You can't control other people's behavior. You can only control yourself. And this hyperness to do the right thing isn't empowerment. Let me let you hear this with your full two ears, because I did not understand this at all. And I am so excited about this new word that's in my vocabulary. It's not empowerment, it's hypervigilance. What is hypervigilance and what does that look like? Hypervigilance is a trauma response. It's your cavewoman brain scanning constantly for danger. It makes you feel emotionally alert. It makes you feel over aware, like you're so aware of yourself, so aware of other people. Hi, like that's super me. I sometimes feel like way too aware because, and it like it makes my life harder because of how aware I am. Or you just live in this constant state of on edge, whether or not the people in your life have actually done something to make you feel on edge, you just feel on edge because your nervous system is trying to prevent you from getting hurt like you've been hurt in the past. This can look like stressing about what other people might do to hurt you, or it can look like overthinking about what other people are thinking or how other people might react. Constantly reading between the lines of people's tone, their texts, their energy to try to suss out what's going on. Planning what you'll say just in case something happens. Like I would sit in the shower and have full conversations in my head to prep for if somebody said a certain thing that I would have the right response. You struggle to relax even in safe situations. You feel like you need to earn rest or softness by solving everything first, that like once you solve everything or once you do all of the things, that's when you'll be able to relax. And until you do that, then you can't. And there's always going to be stuff coming up. So weirdly, you're never resting. You're never leaning into softness. I would stress over what someone might do to hurt me or explain myself constantly to prevent bad things from happening, because if they understood the situation or they understood me enough, then it would stop them from doing any bad thing to hurt me. And the truth was, I wasn't doing it because I was like trying to be dramatic or I was trying to get attention from them. I was doing it because my body is still stuck in spaces that doesn't realize that have happened already. It's like still in this mode of anything can happen at any time. And when you say that, it sounds weird. Like you think like, what do you mean? Like, I know I'm not there anymore. I know I survived that. I know I'm past that. But it's so subconscious. It's so ingrained in you. You don't realize how much it protrudes from who you are. I kind of like to think of this as layers. Like I would think that if I layered on enough empowerment, that it would make the layers that I've been hurt fall off, like that they would be buried. And that sounds wild saying that out loud, because like I didn't view it as me burying it. I really didn't. But like now when I look back on it, that's what I was doing. It's like if I layered all of this empowerment and self-improvement on top of what had happened, that it would cancel all of the bad stuff out and it would be okay. I wouldn't have to worry about it anymore. But you can't layer the empowerment on top of it, because the empowerment just becomes a mask for the hurt. You have to actually do the healing to get rid of the layers that the hurt has happened. And you won't do that unless you actually confront the issue. Once you actually admit it, look it in the face and say, okay, you hurt me. And how can I start the healing process to get rid of those layers? And when you don't heal those layers, that's when you become hypervigilant. You're not too intense. You're not aggressive. You simply just don't know how to stop yourself from protecting you from things that have already happened. When we look at it all laid out like this, it's very obvious that the incessant need to self-perfect is not coming from an empowered place. Do I want to become the best version of myself and that's an empowered thing? Absolutely. But the need to self-perfect is not empowered. It's coming from a place of trying to be someone that people cannot hurt. My next cute little friend is problem solving, okay? I am a problem solver, okay? I would just think that I was a deep thinker. I thought that I thought everything through, got through all the circumstances, dug through everything because I wanted to figure it out because I was a deep thinker. And I think that I am a deep thinker, but this, again, is not coming through in an empowered way. It's coming from a place of gaining control. I thought that if I could get myself in front of any outcome, I could prevent myself from getting hurt before it even happened. Just like I did in the self-perfection, I would mentally rehearse conversations. But instead of trying to pick out my perfect answers like I did in that way, I would also add this layer in of dissecting a whole conversation, even if it was made up in my mind, to figure out why that was happening, why they thought that of me, what I could have done better in order to change the outcome. I would pay attention to patterns for signs of change or disconnection so that I could get in front of the issue before they hurt me. I had such a problem with needing to bring things up. The moment that I felt something was off, even if nothing had actually happened, because it made me feel like I was doing something about it ahead of time. It also made me feel like if they were aware that I was aware, they wouldn't hurt me. I had such a problem with needing, and when I say needing, I mean needing, like zero self-control, have to blurt it out the second I think it. I had such a problem with needing to bring things up the moment that something felt off so that I could get in front of it before something happened, so that I could tell that person what I was thinking so that they didn't act in a weird way. Even if nothing had even happened, I just felt something could happen or something just felt off, I would blurt it out and they'd be like, I didn't, what are you even talking about? Like, I didn't even do anything. And it was just me being scared and trying to protect myself. I would overthink small things and blow them up in my head so that I could emotionally prepare. And when I say small things, I don't mean like stupid things. I mean, I would do that too, I suppose. But when I say small, I realize now the difference between small and big since my life has changed. Like what happened with my fiance discarding me, like that was a big thing. Like that's something big that happens, okay? But like small things, as in petty shit, that's not gonna matter in 5 days, 5 weeks. Like I would consider those things small, but at the time, they don't feel small. So I would think that it was worth it to overthink and problem solve these things. And I would see that as empowerment because I would think like, oh, I'm so much more mentally available than this person. And it wasn't that at all. It had nothing to do with that. It had to do with me preparing for the worst case scenario. I would think that I was being honest and vulnerable. That's a big one. Like I would think I was just, I wanted them to know me. I wanted them to be inside my head. I wanted people to feel me and see me and hear me. And so that's what I thought I was doing, was like building this connection by sharing all of this stuff with them. But the truth is, if I really look at it, I was just trying to prevent heartbreak. Two things can be true at the same time. I was being vulnerable and doing all of these things, but I also was trying to prevent heartbreak. I had this ulterior motive behind why I was doing it. And oh my God. And let me tell you, it's exhausting. It's like I'm constantly preparing for emotional war. Like I don't know what it's like to just be at peace. I don't know what it would be like to just be happy because I spend so much time in this space of control and fear. It felt heavy because I was carrying every possible version of the future all at once. It felt isolating because I was the only one doing all of this. Problem solving became my emotional safety net. I thought that if I could name the fear early enough that I could stop it before it actually became real. The truth is, and we all know this now that we're saying it out loud, is you cannot pre-solve pain. You cannot outthink betrayal. You cannot rehearse yourself into becoming emotionally bulletproof. sometimes the most powerful thing you can do is just wait and see how things play out. Not in a calculated way, because that would also be control if you're planning and doing all of these things behind the scenes, but in a very surrender, acceptance kind of way, that you just wait and see how things play out. If people act weird, they'll act weird. And then you have to act accordingly when that happens. But there's no point in doing all this preparation and stress beforehand, because you cannot control what people do. You can only show up as the best version of yourself and hope that other people do too. You don't need to stay in front of everything to be okay. Control disguised as awareness is still control. I'm learning to sit with uncertainty instead of trying to solve it, to let things play out without dissecting them to death, to let people show me who they are and believing them the first time they show me, and accepting them at face value without filling in the blanks for them. Next, we have control as over-explaining. Hi, I'm the queen of beating a dead horse. If they understand me enough, maybe they'll fill in whatever blank fits your situation. I used to constantly explain my thoughts, my fears, my boundaries, because I thought clarity would bring me safety. But let's be honest about our ulterior motives. It's not just about wanting to be seen and heard. Well, that's part of it. The other parts of it could be that you are trying to manage how others perceive you, how others react to you, how others treat you. And if you trace that fear all the way down, you will find a deep-rooted fear of being misunderstood, which can feel like rejection, being unfairly judged, which feels like betrayal, and being abandoned because someone cannot get where you're coming from. So you overexplain your feelings, your boundaries, your tone, your past, your triggers, your intentions, your reactions, your silence, your healing. You explain, you explain, you explain, you explain, you explain. And my problem is that when I explain the first time and they still don't seem to get me, that doesn't stop me. I will keep explaining until you seem like you understand me. Because deep down, subconsciously, you think if I can just get them to understand me, maybe I can get them to stop hurting me, or maybe I can prevent them from hurting me. It's exhausting constantly translating for yourself, and it's frustrating because most people don't listen with the intention to understand. It's lonely because you realize that the people closest to you don't understand you, and you don't understand that, and you're tired of trying to make them understand you. You feel powerless because no matter what you do, you cannot control other people's thoughts, actions, and choices. Over-explaining used to feel like protection to me. Like if I could just explain myself enough to them, if I could get them to understand me, then they would treat me nicely. And maybe you relate to this if you've ever interacted with a person that you feel like you have to package up your explanation perfectly with a pretty little bow in order to get them to understand you. Or maybe you've been in a situation that somebody made you feel like they didn't understand your feelings unless you applied it with logic. So you learn to get ahead of the misunderstanding by becoming your own translator, hoping that if you can bring clarity to the situation, it would stop you from getting hurt. But the truth is, the people who want to understand you will, and the people who don't, won't. Think about literally any relationship you've had with a good friend, a family member, a significant other, and if somebody genuinely got you, if somebody genuinely understood you, you didn't have to do anything to make that happen. They just did. And anybody that you've ever had problems with, anybody that you are exerting any of this stuff with, you're over-explaining to, trying to get them to understand you, whatever, it's because they don't understand you. So listen to that clarity. That's the clarity. You know what I mean? That's what you should be looking at. Not trying to force clarity, but finding clarity in what's happening. I thought this explanation was emotional maturity, that like I was saying what I was feeling and sharing my developed thoughts because I wanted to share my emotions with them so that we were on the same page, like make sure that I was getting it all out in the open. But really, I was just doing this like emotional bargaining almost in a sense, like, please, if I share this with you, then you'll treat me the way I want you to treat me. Now I'm learning to stop performing for clarity that I don't need, though. That peace doesn't come from understanding. It comes from understanding yourself and trusting yourself to know how to handle it if you were to get hurt again. Let me be the first to tell you that letting go does not come easily if you have spent your life gripping with white knuckles onto everything in your life. It's going to feel uncomfortable. Your nervous system is going to view you not following those same patterns as you being at risk, and you're not going to like it. And you have to move through that discomfort in order to get better at this, in order to learn how to surrender. And surrender isn't going to be some big revelation, spiritual breakthrough release moment. We hear surrender and acceptance all the time. And you know, you think that you understand that, but you don't get it until you get it. And when you get it, it isn't this big moment. It's the small moments. It's very subtle. It's making these small choices to lean into peace over chaos. It's making the choice to respond with intention and thought compared to reacting to what's happening around you. Letting go looks like letting somebody misunderstand your tone or what you said and not feeling like you frantically have to fix it or make up for what you said or get them to understand it. Letting go looks like noticing your mind spiraling and saying, I see you and I hear you, but we're not doing this today. I was watching Eat, Pray, Love because of course I was at this point in my life. And Richard from Texas said, you choose your thoughts like you choose your clothes. And that really resonated with me because I used to think that I just needed to listen to my thoughts and go with the flow of my thoughts and you know, go with whatever was happening. But you have the ability to consciously choose your thoughts. You can say, no, stop. We are not thinking about that right now. We're not thinking about that anymore. We're not thinking about that today. We are going to focus on moving forward. We're going to focus on this instead. We're going to distract ourselves with this instead so we can move our thoughts in a different direction. It's up to you. You are not a slave to your brain. You control your mind, not the other way around. Pause before you try to prove a point or over-explain yourself and ask yourself, am I doing this for empowered clarity, for deep connection, for vulnerability, out of genuine wanting to get connected with another person, or am I doing this for control? And then ask yourself again, because you're probably going to tell yourself at first that it's the empowered one. Letting go is getting triggered and choosing, actively choosing to not ruminate, to not react, not because you're some healed perfect princess, but because you've decided you're done handing your energy to that storyline. And slowly, over time, surrender will start to feel like safety instead of your old patterns, because you'll realize that you don't have to outsource for peace anymore. And I want to get in front of this too, because I would think that letting go meant I was taking the back seat in my life. Like I was just letting people treat me however, I was letting whatever happened happen. I wasn't taking action to make my life what I wanted my life to be. But that's not what you're doing. You're allowing life to happen and making choices where you have the ability to make those choices, because you can only control yourself. So when things come up, you let things come up and then you choose what to do in that scenario. I like to think of it as redirecting my energy instead of directing my energy into this like frantic scrambling to get what I want out of life, allowing life to happen and redirecting my energy and pouring my energy into myself and how I show up in life. I swear to God too, guys, now that I have stopped trying to be understood, I'm really starting to feel free. It's made me take a deep breath. Like I don't care so much about everything anymore. Not in a negative way, but just like in a whatever is going to happen is going to happen kind of way. And I just want to live life and enjoy it as much as I can. Do not let anyone tell you that you are manipulative because you are controlling. You're controlling because you've been hurt and you're trying to protect yourself from it happening again. You just want to feel safe and you deserve to feel safe. And the truth is, you don't have to earn safety anymore. You can choose to feel safe. If any of this episode resonated with you, if you heard your own voice in mine, if something registered with you that made you say, oh my God, maybe I am white knuckling my life a little bit, I want you to take a deep breath, okay? You're not bad. You're not broken. You're not behind. You're not less healed. You're not doing anything wrong. You are healing and you are working towards becoming the best version of yourself. And realizing this and becoming aware of that is the step in the right direction. And anybody in your life that loves you will be with you through that process, will support you through your healing. Don't fool yourself into believing that control is loud. Sometimes it shows up as you trying to be the best version of yourself so that people don't leave you. Sometimes it looks like being ahead of every possible outcome so that you don't get blindsided. Sometimes it looks like trying so hard to be understood so that you don't feel invisible again. You are allowed to let go, not because you have it all figured out and because you're 100% healed, but because you don't have to carry this pressure in order to feel peace and confidence in who you are. I have a journaling prompt for you guys. If this did resonate with you and you want to kickstart your healing journey, let me read it to you. Where is control still showing up in ways that feel responsible, protective, or smart, but are actually keeping me small? You don't have to perform worthiness. You don't have to beg for clarity. You don't have to white knuckle life to feel like you're okay. You already are okay. You are doing enough. You are enough. And when you feel yourself doing these things, that you feel yourself frantic, you feel like you're doing extra, like you're putting pressure on yourself, take a look at what the situation is, because I bet there's something weird going on because it shouldn't be that hard. And sometimes when I hear someone say it shouldn't be that hard, I think, well, it's not that hard. And it might not be hard because you are mentally strong and you are emotionally intelligent and you are capable of carrying that weight and you have that capacity, but it doesn't mean it's the way that things need to be. Let go a little. You are not in danger anymore. And when you are in danger in the future, because things will happen in life, trust yourself that you are capable of handling it. You are okay. It is going to be okay. Thank you so much for listening. I hope you guys enjoyed this episode, and I will talk to you on Monday.